Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing. Always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true transparency pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
The biggest storylines from the past week across the National Football League. It's all on the table right now for you. 615-737-1045. John, how are you?
I'm great. I think that Luke Falk and I may have something in common. Did I read where his sister's band is called Falk?
Yes.
I like it because it's short, it's sweet, it's one syllable, easy to remember, just like my old band.
That is true.
People know exactly what you're talking about, too, so it's perfect. You got to get that message out clearly.
By the way, Paul, I was at the Yankees-Astros game last night.
Yeah, that was a good one.
And it was an atmosphere like the playoff game. Wasn't as big a crowd. But you talk about a well-pitched, great defense, 2-1, broke the Yankees' 9-game winning streak. And I've got tickets to 2 more of the 4, and I wish you could come down here and go with us.
I wish I could, too. I watched the last couple innings last night. It was pretty intense and unfortunate result.
John, quick baseball question for you since you brought it up. I'm curious. The Rangers are bad this year. What kind of rivalry is that? Houston Astros, Texas Rangers.
Well, first of all, let me start with the Cowboys. The Cowboy fans don't acknowledge there's an NFL team in Houston. We're like a gnat. That's why when they play here on Sunday Night Football, even though that game is not as important as an AFC game or not as important as AFC South game, for the Texans fans here, it is the biggest game by far because they hate, it's not that they hate the Cowboys, they hate the Cowboy fans down here are usually obnoxious and arrogant and kind of like University of Texas fans. So that is the biggest. So the other deal though, the Rockets and Mavericks hate each other. It's been a lot of controversy between those two organizations. The Astros and the Rangers hate each other from playing 18 times a year. And what took it to a different level of hate last year while the Astros were displaced by Hurricane Harvey, where the Cowboys opened up their arms, their facility, everything to the Texans to come up there. The Astros asked the Rangers, will you please change the series and let us play in Arlington this series while Hurricane Harvey is being cleared up in Houston. And then you can come to Houston for the last series. And the general manager, Don Daniels, said no. And he claimed it was, he said, it's for our fans because that could be for the playoffs at the end of the season. Well, they weren't even within shouting distance of the playoffs. So the Astros had to go play in St. Petersburg, in the worst stadium in baseball against the Mets. And then, so people up there, the media ripped the heck out of John Daniels for making that decision. And then, of course, the end of the year when they played, it meant nothing. But they, of the three, the baseball is by far the most intense, and it borders on hatred.
John McClain, a wealth of all knowledge in sports and music for that matter. 615-737-1045. If you want to jump in, let's recap the draft with John McClain. If you've got a specific team you want to talk about, if you want to stay in the AFC South, we can do that as well. Phone lines are wide open for you to talk to the man in black himself, John McClain. 615-737-1045.
John, give me three drafts that you really liked at first glance on these classes.
Well, first, let me say something about the Titans. In my 10 mock drafts, I had them taking Rashawn Evans or Harold Landry in 8. In the other two, the first one, I had them taking Ohio State outside linebacker Sam Hubbard, who went the second round. And the other one, I had them taking Boise State inside linebacker Leighton Vanderish. But I knew that Mike Vrabel, being a former linebacker and linebacker's coach and knowing how important linebackers are to a 3-4 and knowing you have two guys whose contracts are up, that was pretty much what they're going to do. had no idea they would trade up for both, but I thought both of them were just terrific moves. And when I, and in the other, the best grade I gave in the division was Jacksonville for a B. The Jaguars did what good teams do, let the draft come to them. Don't reach, don't trade, just take solid picks like Taven Bryan. Malik Jackson will be gone after this season. He'd step in 2019. I thought DJ Chark would replace Allen Robinson. They just, and Ronnie Harrison, the safety, was a good one. They just had a solid draft. Indy, I gave Houston, Tennessee, and Indy B minuses, and I gave the Jaguars a B. I gave the Browns an A minus. I think I gave the Ravens an A minus. And there was a couple more I gave A minuses. I didn't give any A's, and I can't even remember who it was. But I thought a lot of people were negative toward Cleveland. I thought the Browns, because I thought Mayfield was going third to the Jets, I couldn't complain about that. I thought they made some really good picks, and the Browns are going to win 5 or 6 games.
So who did you flunk?
Nobody. The lowest grade I think I gave was like a C-minus to New Orleans for trading up so high for Marcus Davenport. I gave a D to some Oakland. Thought they reached for Colton Miller, who's going to start at right tackle. The biggest reach of the first round got no attention. It was Pittsburgh taking safety Terrell Edmonds from Virginia Tech, younger brother of Tremaine Edmonds, who's a first-round pick, I think, of Buffalo. Taking him in the first round when he was projected to go in the third, but because Ryan Shazier came out and made the pick and everybody was so stunned and excited about him walking, they forgot that was the biggest reach of the first round.
John, what'd you make of Tom Brady's appearance last night where he pled the fifth on if the Patriots appreciate him sufficiently? Went on to be complimentary of Bill Belichick. I don't know if he said Bill Belichick's name, though.
It seems to me, and he and Jim Gray have a really good relationship. Gray does the interview with him every week, a Monday Night Football for Westwood One. And I'm sure they went over all the questions ahead of time, and Brady knew what he was going to say about feeling appreciated. Now, if it was money, of course he's underpaid, but that's his fault, not their fault. I don't know what else he wants. I can't imagine any player getting more, being more adored by everybody than Tom Brady is. Sound like maybe his ego has been hurt somehow. But, you know, being competing for the Super Bowl every year because of the coach you play for and the system you play for and the culture you play in, I don't know how anybody could not be appreciative of that. And if they don't like it, leave.
615-737-1045, our number. Let's go to the phones. Corey, lead us off. Hey, Corey.
Hey, John. How you doing, man?
I'm great, Corey. How are you?
Doing wonderful, John. So I have just a couple of questions. I wanted to touch on the situation with Julio Jones and the Falcons, and wanted to get your input on that and what you might know. And I wanted to get your opinion on the Falcons draft class with getting not only the running back from Southern Miss, Ito Smith, in the I think it was the fourth round, but also drafting Calvin Ridley, a wide receiver, and Russell Gage, a wide receiver.
Well, first of all, they drafted Calvin Ridley. They didn't think Calvin Ridley was going to last that long. They drafted him to complement Julio Jones. When they paid Julio, number one, when they drafted Julio Jones, Thomas Dimitroff paid one of the highest prices you've ever paid in the first round to get a wide receiver. And it turned out it was the right pick. He's been a tremendous player for them. And Ridley is no Julio Jones, but he is still really good. He'll be, I think, I don't know if it'll be this year, but at least by 2019, he'll be a terrific complement to him. And I thought, as far as Gage, I don't have any clue about him, but I do think the Ridley pick was terrific.
Gage was, he was pegged as a great special teams performer. at the next level, and an underrated receiving option. That's how I would describe him.
Then that would be the best. Most teams are trying to take picks who will help special teams. I know, like the Texans, their coverage and return teams have been pathetic, and they need help desperately. So every pick they took, other than third-round offensive tackle Martinez Rankin, they did it with the idea of them contributing on special teams.
They also ended up with Isaiah Oliver late in the second round, I think. 50.
Which was a really good pick.
Yeah.
He was projected as a second-round corner. Some people had him going late in the first, but I thought Oliver was a terrific pick for them.